you ever have one of those days where you're promised to do something and you wake up in the morning and you just don't feel like it? I'm not talking about things that come along that are real legitimate excuses, like, you know, I signed up to go play hockey today and yesterday I broke my leg. Now, if I signed up yesterday to go play hockey today, my wife would have broken my leg. And rightfully so. Because it was going to happen sooner or later anyway if I went. So, but I'm talking about things that you've committed yourself to, maybe either by yourself or with others, and you really just didn't feel like it. We've all had those days, haven't we? Shake your head, yes. That's normal. And sometimes things can be put off for a time without significant consequence to whatever it is. But sometimes those matters are of, and I'm using the word purposely, grave importance. Especially when they involve some type of service to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If anyone had reason not to feel like ministering, it would be the women who came to the tomb early on the resurrection morning. Think about this for just a moment. They had gone through emotionally a lot. They had traveled with Jesus, come down from Galilee with Him. They had ministered to Him while He was yet living. They were following along. They stood there at the cross. They beheld all the things that transpired in the crucifixion. And as horrendous of an act that was, it certainly had to have some type of an emotional consequence associated with it. I think they were drained. And I think the morning of the resurrection, probably the last thing that they felt like doing was getting up and serving. But yet that's exactly what they did. I want to take a look at the resurrection account in Mark's Gospel this morning. As we go through it, I want to suggest some possibilities, some legitimate, quote-unquote, excuses that they could have offered not to be of a service that morning. And then look at the blessings that they received by working through or past their feelings. Mark chapter 16, and beginning at verse 1. When the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint Him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid Him. But go your way, tell His disciples and Peter that He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see Him as He said unto you." And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid. Here they are, it's very early in the morning. And apparently, they had, these three women, had made an agreement amongst themselves that they were going to go out and they were going to anoint the body of the dead Jesus Christ with these spices. And sometimes, in situations like this, you get the idea, as much as I like these other two women, I need some me time. You ever get that way? Not that you have anything against anybody else. You just want to be alone. especially after some type of traumatic event that had just taken place. You want to sit, you want to contemplate, you might want to pray. You just don't want the distractions, the obligations, the necessities of being around other people. And very easily, any one of these women could have that morning said, you know what, girls, as much as I enjoy being with you, as much as I enjoy ministering with you, I'm just not up to it today. That didn't stop them. Second thing, look at when they went. Very early in the morning, before the rising of the sun. There are times that are inconvenient times. One of the things I struggle most with in ministry is oftentimes I have to be at two places at once. And you can't do that. You can only be at one place at one time. So time becomes an issue. And sometimes what they require you to do is an inconvenient thing as far as time goes. Dr. Howard Hendricks was with the Lord now, but he was a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary years ago. I heard him one time tell of a story in one of his messages about a conversation he had with his daughter. He said, "I am a morning dove, she is a night owl." He said, "I love the early morning." And one day I said to my daughter, "Honey, wouldn't you love to get up and watch the sunrise with me?" She turned to her father and she said, "Daddy, if God wanted us to see the sunrise, He would have scheduled it at a more convenient time." Sometimes things are just inconvenient. Doable, but inconvenient. And I don't necessarily know that this was the most convenient of times before the rising of the sun to go. That's the time they picked. Thirdly, there are things that are difficult to accomplish. I don't know, it says here they bought spices, and I don't know how much those spices weighed. But Nicodemus had also purchased spices, and it says in John's Gospel they were about 100 pounds in weight. Now, I don't know that they had that many that they bought. I don't know how far the distance was that they had to carry those things. But if the spices were weighty and they had a distance to travel, probably they could have come up with a legitimate excuse of, "This is men's work." And of course, the men would say, "Nope, that's women's work." And isn't it interesting how we divide responsibilities? We divide them according to gender, or we divide them according to age. This is for somebody who's experienced. No, this is for a young person to do. This is for a person with much education. No, this is something that a person with little education can do. This is for tall people. This is for short people. Fat kids, skinny kids, even kids who climb on rocks and all those other different categories that we divide it up, and it's very easy to find a category that you don't fit in so that it's somebody else's responsibility. And I'm sure they could have come up with a legitimate excuse that this was not their responsibility to do. Fourthly, they could have come up with the logical argument of an ineffectual accomplishment. By that I mean, the argument is this: what good will it do? We're going to take those spices, we're going to go there, we're going to anoint the body, and when all is said and done, Jesus Christ is still going to be dead. Nothing that we will do can change that. So why bother? You ever get that way? You have a responsibility and you think it's impossible to accomplish anything good out of it. Maybe somebody is so obstinate you can't change their mind. Maybe something is so difficult you don't have the ability, the physical ability to do those things. Whatever it is, you say to yourself, it's a losing proposition. And you talk yourself right out of ministry. And the truth of the matter is, no matter what they did, he'd still be dead. Last one. The impracticality of being successful. As they're traveling along, verse 3, it says, they had a question. Who shall roll us away the stone from the door? We have an obstacle in front of us. As I've mentioned before in previous Easter services, there was a groove that was cut in front of the opening of the tomb. And this massive stone would be rolled down into the tomb, or into the groove. Consequently, not just rolling it away, but rolling it uphill. And not only that, there was another stone in front of it that would keep the stone from falling this way. I mean, you could get on the top, pry the thing, and cause it to fall down that way, but this other stone in front of it would keep that from happening. So they had the impracticality of getting into the tomb. I tend to believe that at this point in time, they did not recognize the presence of the soldiers. The guard was posted after the resurrection of Christ. These women would have gone home already. So it's probable that they didn't even know that they were there. Had they known that they were there, they might not have even tried to get in, because certainly the soldiers, the guard, were not going to allow them to enter. So they're there, and here they are, these poor little women going up there, and they're saying, we have a good deed to do, but it's doubtful that we'll be able to accomplish it. But let's go anyway. Maybe by chance, somebody else will be there. Well, what happens? Well, you know the rest of the story. They get there, verse 4, and when they looked, they saw that the stone was already rolled away, for it was very great. And they went in and they saw the young man, or actually what it was an angel sitting there. They conversed with him and they're told of the story of the resurrection. They go away different people. They went away blessed. You see, despite all their legitimate objections to ministry, they went and they did the right thing. And that's really the answer to all those different objections. Well, I want some alone time. Well, that's fine, but is that the right thing? This is an inconvenient time, but is it the right time? This is something that is difficult for me to do, but is it the right thing to do? I don't know that I can accomplish this, but is it the right thing to do? And so the answer was they did the right thing. And whenever you do the right thing, God blesses. Look at the blessing. There's four different blessings here that I see. First of all, they became a witness to supernatural provision. They get there and the stone is rolled away. You know how much they contributed to that? Absolutely nothing. Do you know how much anyone else contributed to that? Absolutely nothing. Do you know what natural processes did? Now, the scripture tells us that there was an earthquake. But I don't think the earthquake rolled away the stone. You see, what happens when earthquakes happen? Do things normally go uphill? Earthquakes, things go downhill. I don't think that earthquake would have rolled the stone uphill. I think all that earthquake was is to notify everybody, hey, something significant's going on here. That'll get your attention, won't it? I think God supernaturally rolled that stone away, maybe through the agency of the angel that was there, but whatever the case, there was some supernatural provision that allowed them to enter the tomb and see that Christ had been resurrected. Sometimes the grace of God doesn't occur until after the decision to do what is right has been made. Now, Lord, I have this responsibility. Give me the grace and I'll go and I'll do it. And I think God replies, go and do it, and I'll give you the grace. There just seems to be in the lives of God's servant, the grace comes with the doing, not the doing with the grace. And these women made the right decision. They went and ministered even when they may not have felt like it. And consequently, they were witnesses to supernatural provisions in their lives. Secondly, they were receptors of scriptural revelation. They got there, and that was a terrifying situation. In fact, their immediate response is someone's taken the body and we don't know where they've taken him. Well, these women here were given revelation by an angel that he was risen. In fact, they not only had an audio revelation or a verbal revelation, they had a visual revelation. Look and see where he laid. And they saw the after effects of him being there. More than likely they saw the garment in which he was laid and the napkin rolled up beside it and everything that was there. They knew with absolute certainty he had been there, but he was there no longer. Do you know the old saying? God said it. I believe it. That settles it. And we quickly say it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. If God said it, that settles it. And that's true. But if God has already settled it, you better believe it. And God is willing to aid your faith. These women went, and they were going really in an attitude of unbelief. They, even though Jesus had said over and over and over again, I'm going to Jerusalem, I'm going to be betrayed by the elders and the leaders that are there, I'm going to be crucified. And then he stopped. Wait a minute, he said, and I will rise again the third day. I mean, that was as clear as the crucifixion part. Somehow they forgot that. And they got there, and God says, basically to them through the angel, didn't I fulfill everything that I said I was going to do? It encouraged their faith. Thirdly, they received a promise of special fellowship. He's not here, verse 6 says, but go your way, verse 7, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There, maybe you'll see him. No, there you will see him. He's appointed a place. He's appointed a time. You get there and there will be a time of special fellowship that you will have. And it's interesting. We can, with all the right reasons or seemingly right reasons, get our alone time. And we spiritualize the thing. I just want to spend some time in prayer. Well, that's a good thing to do. I'm never suggesting that you shouldn't be spending time in prayer. I want to spend some time in personal Bible study and meditation. That's a good thing to do. But if God has called you to ministry at a specific time and place, it's not the time for prayer and Bible study. It's the time for ministry. And there will be a time, a special fellowship, a special communion with the Lord. That was the blessing. And then finally, there's a specific commission to service. Go your way, tell his disciples and Peter. They got the privilege of being the very first New Testament evangelists. That's quite an honor. As we'll see later on this morning, they weren't, if by human standards, successful in their ministry, although they accomplished exactly what the Lord told them to do, and that constitutes success. But from an outcome basis, Peter and the rest of them didn't immediately believe. They nonetheless had the privilege, before anyone else, of sharing the good news that Jesus Christ is alive. not opportunely, only came once in all of history. It'll never happen again. Do you realize every opportunity that you have for ministry is a once in a history event? Oh, there are similar opportunities for ministry. But every ministry in and of itself is unique, and you have one opportunity to do that. And they took advantage of it. And there was blessing for that. Do you realize if we put this in a historical perspective, if they hadn't gone and told Peter and the rest of the disciples, and Peter and the rest of the disciples had never heard, there never would have been a church, there never would have been you and I sitting here this morning. Do you realize the testimony, the witness of these women had an indirect effect on us being here today, 2,000 years later? In just a seemingly unimportant ministry. Just goes to show you that in the plan of God, nothing is unimportant. And the times when we just don't feel like ministering may have horrendous consequences, both good or bad. Will you wake up tomorrow and maybe not just feel like doing something? Let me just take a quick little poll. For you this morning, was getting up early an easy thing to do? How many was it easy for? About half of you. How many of you, when the alarm clock went off, and I would assume alarm clock went off, the other half, said, how many times can I hit the snooze button? Or at least I wish I could hit the snooze button. Didn't feel like it, did you? May not have been an easy thing. Well, it's an inconvenient time. Now, for me, it's a piece of cake. This is great. Is it worth it? In the plan of God, it always is. Next time, you just don't feel like ministering. Remember Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, and their willingness to minister even when they just didn't feel like it, and the blessing that God can bring by doing what is right. Let's pray. Father, it's all too human to be guided by our feelings. Not that our feelings have nothing of importance, but in reality, what should guide us is the truth of the Word of God. And our feelings then will follow. Father, it may be tomorrow, it may be the next day, it may be a week from now or whatever, but more than likely there's going to be some day in the near future that we're going to wake up and we're just not going to feel like doing what's right. May the testimony of these two Marys and Salome be brought back to mind, that we might be prompted to do what is right, and then experience the blessings of God that only God can give. And accomplish your purposes for your glory, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Patrick.